Welcome back to Free Basketball. I know, did you miss us? It has been basically a month since we have last put out an episode. Cody and I both have been through some pretty tough medical stuff over the past couple weeks. Cody more so than me. So we've just kind of taken a little bit of a break for our kind of like our mental health, really. This just wasn't, you know, this podcast is not as important as the people in our lives. So my heart goes out to my co-host, Cody. My prayers are with him, and he'll be back on the show, you know, soon. And maybe he will share with everybody, you know, why he has needed the break. But I will leave that up to him. So for the next couple episodes this coming up, I'm going to be flying solo here. And this is the time of year, if you have followed the podcast or you know me, then you are aware that Selection Sunday was today for March Madness. And games start this week. The first four starts Tuesday. They play Tuesday and Wednesday. And then the first round of the tournament starts Thursday, which is my favorite time of the year of basketball. Goes from March Madness, leads right up into the NBA playoffs. So college basketball is just a really welcome distraction from kind of the last run of the NBA season where you have half the teams are tanking. Some are going for, you know, the best record in the West. So this is a welcome distraction for me personally as a Grizzlies fan, since there's just not much to root for this year. So there's going to be a couple episodes coming up. This episode's going to be mostly about some thoughts about March Madness. Just like an overview looking down on the tournament now that we know the seedings, who's playing who, etc. And then, of course, I'm going to do my yearly talking about the upset potential, who could actually pull off an upset, and then who could be potentially the actual national championship pick, which if you want to get some good picks for your bracket pool for at work or with your friends, or if you're in a money pool, I'm in multiple of them, then this might be some helpful information to you, because doing brackets can feel overwhelming. And so I am here to help to kind of hopefully enlighten and help you give you maybe see through the fog a little bit, so to speak. But of course, it is March Madness. Absolutely anything can happen. So don't take this as like these picks are definitely going to happen. If you followed college basketball at all or you know anything about the tournament, you know nothing is a sure thing, right? If that were the case, a one seed in the tournament, the best one seed in the tournament would win every year, right? Because they are the quote unquote best team in NCAA. Well, as we're going to find out, that rarely happens. So this is to give you some upset picks and some teams that would qualify for who you're going to pick to win it all. So let me start with some actual general tournament thoughts, because I actually have a few. I don't want to sit here and go on a soapbox, but just some general observations, because if you've been watching college basketball, you know that there's been a lot of turmoil in the conference tournaments the past week. So trying to put that on to thought what we might see for this year's March Madness. The very first thing I got to start off first before I go any further is my beloved Indiana State, who we gave, you know, the great nickname Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to center Robby Avila for Indiana State. They did not get an at-large bubble over someone like a Virginia. Virginia, as you know, plays in the ACC, and Virginia sucks. But this is going to be the theme from now on. Virginia is in a power conference, quote unquote. So the power conference brand, even though all the metrics that the committee, the selection committee, says they use, the net rankings, Indiana State was 20 plus spots higher, I believe, than Virginia. But Virginia got in because it had a quote unquote better overall resume. This is going to kind of be the theme, going for the thoughts looking at the tournament, because to me, if you look at the way the brackets kind of broke out with seedings, a lot of the people who follow college basketball or do bracketology or like more than just Joe Lenardi, if you're just following Joe Lenardi for, or Jerry Palm for, you know, for CBS Sports or whatever, you've got to get to the guys who do this all the time that have had a really consistent track with this. And I follow
a handful of them just to get differing opinions on how they see teams. The seeding in this tournament was all over the place. For example, Auburn. Auburn is a four seed. They had a good regular season in the SEC. They win the conference tournament. They're a four seed. Kentucky, who had an up and down regular season, has some nice wins, not to say that they're bad. They lose the first round of the SEC tournament. They get a three seed. Like, that's the example that I'm talking about that is all over this NCAA tournament. Like, St. Mary's and Gonzaga. I don't think either team is very good, but St. Mary's dominated Gonzaga pretty much all year. Their equivalent seeds is five seeds. Now, Gonzaga did go and beat Kentucky on Kentucky's home floor. Was that enough for the committee to decide that they're on par seed-wise? Like, there's just a lot of weird things. Like, there's six Mountain West teams that made the tournament this year, and most bracketology people had them 8-9 line, seven seeds. Most of them are 10 seeds. I think two of them are in the play-in, which apparently is a 10 seed this year instead of the normal 11 seed, which I have a theory on that. It's a 10 seed because we've seen the past couple of years the teams that have been in the first four as the 11 seed goes on and actually wins the first round and makes a mini run in the tournament. I think the committee, because they're playing a lower seed, like a three or a four, whatever that is in round two, I think the committee this time was like, let's make this 10 seeds. That way that so the run should be over if they have one. It'll be over by the two seed. So that's part of the, because I think the committee is setting up the major brand names, if you look at it. Kentucky gets a nice path. Marquette, okay. Not name brand, though. Duke gets a nice path. Houston, nice path. I mean, UConn is in probably the hardest bracket, but a decent path. UNC, potentially, nice path. Arizona, decent path. Tennessee, decent path. Kansas, for all the turmoil that Kansas has gone through all year, pretty good path with Purdue. So I think this tournament is, I think they're trying to fix what happened to them last year by setting up their name brand power conferences to have an easier path to get there because they need those name brands to go farther for the viewership. Last year was one of the least viewed tournaments and especially final championship finals ever or in recent memory. And it was San Diego State and UConn. I mean, the Final Four included San Diego State, Miami, UConn, and Florida Atlantic. The NCAA does not want the repeat of that. They want the top names to make the Final Four. Now, it's March Madness, and we've seen it all year this year that it's up and down. Everybody seems to be able to beat anybody this year. But I think they've tried to set this up better now, specifically or strategically, so that certain names have a better shot. I don't know if you can put that percentage-wise, but a 7 to 12% better odds of making it deeper in the tournament, so they have a larger quote unquote brand name power conference viewership tuning in to watch their team. So they need a deep run this year from the name brands to make up for last year, because all everybody's going to talk about is the viewership numbers. Is college basketball dying? So I think last year with the deep run upset chaos with San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, now they didn't actually upset these top seeds. The top seeds bowed out early themselves. But the fact that Miami, San Diego State, Florida Atlantic were in there, I mean, obviously that benefited UConn greatly to win that championship. So kind of to add on to this, why I think it's a tournament more for the bigger names this year. Conference tourneys this year and all conferences were a disaster for high quality mid-majors. I think it was 20 plus or 20 exactly, something like that. One seeds in their conference lost early. So we have probably the lowest number of quality teams that won their conference tournaments in those mid-majors or one-bid leagues, as they call them, to make the actual NCAA tournament, which to me has watered down the overall quality of the upset bid teams. Like, there's still a few teams that are high quality teams that actually went on, they won the regular season, they went on to win their tournament. You know, someone like Grand Canyon, who I believe was the one seed in their tournament, they actually did their business, won the tournament or won the regular season, won their conference tournament. That's a real high major quality team or mid-major quality team. James Madison, I don't think they were number one. I think they were third, but it was close to being number one. And then they went on and win their conference tournament. So these are McNeese State, you know, the team everybody's talking about as a sexy upset pick, dominated their conference, dominated their conference tourney. So we've seen a handful of teams do this, like Drake. Drake also, I think they were the two seed in their conference. They make the run, they dominate, and they win the final over Indiana State, my beloved Indiana State. So I think it's watered down the overall upset bids that are potentially here because it's teams that actually won it. To their credit, they won it. But do I really think the five seed Duquesne in the A-10 is going to walk in here and upset a five seed? Are they that quality to actually do that? That's what we don't know. That's what we're going to find out. But to me, just looking at it, just looking through the teams, it doesn't feel like there's as many teams with higher quality mid-majors in these lower conferences that are only get the one bid auto for winning their conference tournament. There's not as many good quality of those to where we get the variance of them in the or in the Cinderella, quote unquote, does the slipper fit type of team. So I think that's going to lead to less, you know, quote unquote, big upsets, like the brand names, like the St. Peters, you know, other teams that made deep runs, and it's going to turn more to the lower seeds that are in these power conferences beating other higher seeds from other power conferences. To me, those are going to be the quote unquote upsets this year. Those are the ones that I'm targeting stat-wise, and when I'm looking at this, there's still going to be a handful of those mid-major teams that I like a lot that I'm going to be looking at to target to pull off these upsets, whether it's in gambling or placing bets or in my bracket pools and stuff like that, my competitions. But I think overall, in general, the upsets are going to come from these power conference teams that didn't have as good of a regular season. And they just pull off the quote unquote upset against a higher seeded other top of another power seed team, if that makes sense. I feel like that might have been a big word salad. But let me get into the teams I'm targeting and the criteria that I'm looking at so maybe get a better picture of what I'm talking about. So if you're looking for teams with upset potential, I use KenPom a lot. I know there's other sites out there that people like and they feel is more reliable, but KenPom for as many years as I can think has been basically the standard to look at. And so there are three things that you want to look for in an upset potential. Top 75 KenPom offensive efficiency, 3-point percentage, 35% and above. I think that's a kind of a criteria. Either I saw it from somebody or I kind of, they had a particular percentage and I added it a little bit to include, you know, the higher performing 3-point shooting teams. And then a top 90 team that's in the offensive rebound percentage. So a team that can create extra possessions. Those are teams that, you know, create extra possessions in theory gives you more points, right? Just gives you a chance because it doesn't always feel like at the end of a game in these early tournaments that it's always the team that just absolutely pounds the offensive glass and can get more offensive possessions ends up being that Cinderella team or making that miracle shot or that miracle comeback. Like, just ask NC State about their run through the ACC tournament to make it actually into March Madness here. A lot of that was just pounding the glass. Every team, 5 nights in a row, they were just murdering people on the glass. So here's some teams by the criteria. There's four teams that hits all four or all three criterias. They get a 3 out of 3. That is McNeese State, James Madison, Colorado, and TCU. There are three teams who have 2.5. I gave 2.5. I gave a half point if they were within a half percentage of the 35% for 3 points. So they don't technically qualify for the 35% 3-point percentage, but they were just so close that there's probably just one game where they had a bad percentage, one or two games that had a bad percentage, but the rest of the time, they hit this all the time. So those teams are Boise State, Grand Canyon, and Charleston, which I think Charleston is a team that would kind of surprise people a little bit. There are seven teams who have two of the markers. So either a top 75 KenPom offense, they're either a high three-point shooting team, 35% or above, or they're in the top 90 offensive rebound percentage. Those teams, Michigan State, Drake, Nevada, New Mexico, Northwestern, UAB, and Samford. These are the teams that I've targeted early that in my brackets, I'm not taking all of them, obviously. I'll tell you why in a second. But these are teams I'm kind of looking to have a court of variation so I don't have a unified one bracket, right? So what did I list? 14 teams, potentially. Usually, in the first round, you've got to pick anywhere from 6 to 9 of them. Standard kind of being 7, really. But 6 to 8, 6 to 9 in the first round upsets is kind of a standard. You need at least 6. Max is probably 9, unless it really is just an absolutely wild tournament. But 6, 7, 8, that's kind of the range of the number of upsets that you need to actually pick. So I know a 9 over an 8 doesn't seem like an upset, but it counts as one. And so that's where a lot of the upsets kind of come from. 10 over 7, that's where a lot of them come from. So don't sit there and pick 6 to 7, 14 over 3s, 12 over 5s, 11 over 6, 15 over 2s. Those are just less common, right? The more common ones are the 9s over 8s and the 10s over 7s. So that's where a lot of these are coming from, and that's where we're going to see where teams that I'm honing in even more are going to be either on every bracket for me, or I'm going to vary it a little bit, because the final lens I kind of put it through with upsets is I like to look at who's ranked higher in KenPom than the actual selection committee's seeding list. So, for example, Colorado, based on their seeding as a 10 seed, the committee has them ranked 39th in the tournament. KenPom actually has Colorado ranked 26th. So I always lean more to the KenPom side of this. So Colorado automatically is going to be my second filter, a team I'm looking at to pick an upset. The other teams for this, there's 5 total, Colorado being the first one. TCU, 33rd by KenPom, 35th by the committee. So not a massive difference, but still a little bit better than what the committee has them ranked. Michigan State, 18th by KenPom, 33rd by committee. That is just such a massive gap between them. The Michigan State is just going to be an upset pick for me, and it's a 9 seed. Nevada, 36th by KenPom, 37th by the committee. Not a huge difference. And the last one, New Mexico, 23rd by KenPom, 42nd by the committee. Huge spread. I'm basically going to have New Mexico probably in all of my picks against Clemson. So those are the 5 teams that I'm heavily looking at to pull off the quote-unquote upset. Now, Colorado is the interesting case because they do have that first 4 play-in game. So I'm definitely picking Colorado to win that first 4 matchup over Boise State. I'm not sure if I'm going to go the distance to say they will beat the 7 seed Florida, but it is something that I will be looking at. So I've got 5 right there, and I said we need at least 6. So let's go a 6 and a 7. So I've got Colorado, TCU, Michigan State, Nevada, New Mexico.
Here are two, or here are three other teams that I'm looking at. I'm looking at James Madison. I know James Madison doesn't hit the criteria of the rank higher KenPom than committee. James Madison hits all three criteria. I just love the team. I think the team is awesome. I love the guards. They play the five-out style. I love their point guard, and they're going up against a bigger team like Wisconsin, which Wisconsin will probably beat them to death on inside, but I love James Madison's offense. I think the game's going to be close. Wisconsin typically this year has struggled with teams that play this style like James Madison. So I'm really interested to add James Madison. So that would be my sixth. I also like Drake a lot. Drake would be the other one. Now they only hit two, but they are playing Washington State. Not a huge fan of Washington State. They're okay. They'll be a lot bigger than Drake, but Drake is just kind of like that super fundamental team that has one really, really good guy and a lot of and Tucker DeVries, but or DeVries, but and a lot of role pieces around it that can knock down shots. So I like Drake a lot. That gets us up to what, seven? And the last one would be, which everybody's going to want to pick, that is McNeese State. The I'm probably not going to roll with McNeese State because I'm not sure. I'm not sure that they can actually pull the upset off on Gonzaga. Gonzaga, I don't like Gonzaga a lot, but they are a lot bigger than McNeese. But I do think it'll be an up and down game. If McNeese gets hot from three, then it could be really interesting. But I think McNeese can hang in there. I don't know if I think that they can necessarily pull off an actual upset, but that would make it eight upsets right there. The ones that I'm targeting, I've got to look more at. But the seven for surefire that I'm probably going to be taking, James Madison, Colorado, TCU, Michigan State, Drake, Nevada, New Mexico. And the outside looking in, not 100% for sure yet, McNeese. None of those are super sexy picks, right, for upsets that you would typically think, besides James Madison. James Madison would be about it. The rest of them, I mean, I guess New Mexico would probably be the name, like, oh, 11 over 6. But I think that it wouldn't be as big of an upset as people would typically think of at 11 and 6, right? So those are the teams I'm looking at for my upset potential. Those are the criteria that I'm looking at. Those are the teams I suggest that you look at. The funny one that I have to mention is, I think people are going to take a sexy pick. They think Morehead State is a team that could upset Illinois, which it's March Madness. Absolutely, they could. Illinois fails to teams all the time, especially their coach, Brad Underwood. He tends to lose games like this, or at least be more close than comfort than you want it to be. I think a lot of people are going to pick Morehead State. And I'm just telling you, Morehead State on the three criteria to upset teams, they got zero. So there's nothing about them that stands out statistically that's like, okay, this has a real shot, right? So that's my upset potential teams. Now, championship picks. This one is difficult. And I know at the end of this, when I list the teams that I think you should be considering, you're gonna be like, oh, great. Okay, nice picks, man. But here's the thinking, right? So typically for champions, they usually have to be a one through a four seed. One, two, three, or four. That is kind of the history of the NCAA tournament. It is very rare for someone five and below, all the way to 16, to win a championship. I think the last one we had was number seven UConn winning it, whatever it was, 10 years ago, or even more, 12 years ago, whatever it was when they won that. So here are your one through four seeds. You got UConn, Houston, Purdue, North Carolina, Iowa State, Tennessee, Arizona, Marquette, Illinois, Baylor, Kentucky, Creighton, Auburn, Alabama, Duke, and Kansas. So now I have to put these through. These are the contenders list, right? Now I have to put these through multiple filters to kind of see who kind of comes out on the other end as a possibility. First filter being, are they top 20 or top 25 in KenPom offense? Looking at the stats,
It eliminates two teams. It eliminates Iowa State and it eliminates Tennessee. The offense is just not good enough for these teams, efficiency-wise, to say that they're going to win a national championship. Another lens to put that through. Top 25 defensive teams. That eliminates five teams. That eliminates Illinois, Baylor, Kentucky, Sexy Pick Kentucky, Alabama, and Duke. So what we're left with is UConn, Houston, Purdue, North Carolina, Arizona, Marquette, Creighton, Auburn, and Kansas. Oh, and I'm sorry, I left off Kansas on the offense one. But I'm going to circle back to that with Kansas. Actually, I'll go ahead and say it now. Kansas doesn't meet the criteria for offense. But if you have been following college basketball at all in Kansas season, you know two things. One, they don't have great depth. And the second one, their top player has been hurt for a stretch of a couple weeks now. And they've been falling off for the past 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a little bit more. And you know that they didn't have their big man center in the Big 12 tournament and they lost first round. So this one is like an asterisk to me for Kansas because normally if they'd been healthy the whole way and the offense doesn't hit, I'm scratching them off. But I believe before all the injuries went down, Kansas was in this top 25 offensive criteria. So this is an asterisk based on the injuries that they have dealt with for the past month. Now, the reason I'm only doing this is because a couple years ago, this was a cross-off I had with Baylor, and they had a big COVID stretch, which knocked them out for a couple weeks. And when that COVID series, it had a real hangover teams for a couple weeks while they had to get healthier. So what it did was it messed up their metrics, and so they didn't hit certain marker filters that I look at. And so I missed it. If I would have calculated that in, I didn't have them as a championship contender. If I would have had them in from pre all the in or the COVID injury stuff, they would have been in it. So that's why I keep saying Kansas is an asterisk here because of the injury stuff. Let's add another lens. Did they win their regular season title or their conference tournament? And there's a couple teams that didn't do this. Marquette, Creighton. Auburn won their conference tournament. Purdue won the regular season title. Houston won the regular season title. North Carolina won their regular season title. Arizona won their regular season title. Connecticut is actually the only team to do both on these championship contenders list. So that leaves us with UConn, Houston, Purdue, North Carolina, Arizona, and Auburn. So now we got to figure out a couple more lenses here because we still have asterisk Kansas here. In the past, oh, I don't know how many years it's been, 20 something, maybe it might have been 30 years. I should have the exact number in front of me, but of course I don't. The preseason number one overall team has only gone on to win the championship that same year a handful of times. So usually preseason number one does not actually win the NCAA tournament. So guess who that eliminates? Our asterisk team. Kansas was the preseason number one overall team. So we can cross Kansas off, even though in my mind there's still an asterisk to them. We can cross Kansas off. So it leaves us with the final six teams: UConn, Houston, North Carolina, Purdue, Arizona, Auburn. Here's the final lens where it gets weird. The number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament in the past 20 plus years, same kind of number, has only won the NCAA tournament a handful of times. I don't know the exact number, but it's like 4 or 5 times. Here's the problem with that. Number one overall seed for this tournament is UConn. But Houston, I think, was always going to be the number one overall seed. if they had gone on to win the Big 12 tournament. I think UConn winning their tournament, Houston losing theirs, vaulted UConn to number one. Well, what happened to Houston? Houston ran into injuries. They weren't even sure if they were going to play guys in the Big 12 tournament, and they did, and they made the final. But the final, they just kind of looked like, okay, we're just kind of over it, and Iowa State ran out on them. So do I eliminate UConn, or do I factor in the Houston injury thing as a part of it, just like I did with Kansas, and just say, okay, if Houston was fully healthy, does Houston win the Big 12 tournament? Are they actually the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament? Should we actually be crossing off Houston? That's the question to ask. I have to put asterisks by both UConn and Houston. I lean to crossing off Houston. But history says the top overall seed, and the actual top overall seed right now is UConn. So should we cross off both? Or just UConn or just Houston? Here's where I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave them in right now. The six teams that you should be looking at to pick as your champion for your bracket should be either UConn, Houston, North Carolina, Purdue, Arizona, and four seed Auburn. My choice? I guess you'll have to find out in the next episode. Because the next episode coming back, I'm going to be going through all the brackets. I'm going to be making every pick, every round, Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four champion. So I'll list off. I'll be breaking down the East, the West, the South, the Midwest. Breakdown is a light term. I'm not going to be going game by game and breaking out a ton of stats, just overall general feelings and who I'm picking for them. So you'll be getting my Final Four and my champion picks and my championship winner next episode. And stay tuned after that because we'll have something on Wednesday. I know the Tuesday night first four, we won't have it out for then, but I'm going to have a special guest, one Mr. Daniel Greer. You remember him from the old days when he was on Free Basketball Podcast. Now he's on Grizz 901 with Bluff City Media. He is going to be joining me for a 30-ish minute episode, unless we get off the rails talking about stuff, going over some best bets that we like. Best bets, as in for like, game lines for the first round, props, teams to make the Final Four, teams to make the Sweet 16, champ picks. So if you are a gambling kind of person and that is something that you're really into, you'll want to tune into that episode. I think it will be out either Tuesday afternoon, maybe before the first four, or it will be out Wednesday. So that way you can get some action down if that's what you're looking for March Madness. So be tuned for that. So we'll have the episode coming up probably either today, later this afternoon, or tomorrow, with my bracket picks, going over my bracket, my championship pick, and then the episode following after that with Daniel doing our March Madness best bets. So thanks for tuning in. Sorry for the long hiatus. There is plenty of reasons why, and eventually we might tell you. But thanks for tuning us into this episode. Hope you enjoy March Madness. Be back shortly with another episode.